Blog Talk Radio.
People.net, a multicultural artistic network, and you're tuning in to another wonderful show with a talented member of our network, Kathy Yolanda Rice, and she was born and raised in Cosmopolitan City of Huntsville, Alabama, where her passion of music and art was recognized at an early age. And Kathy writes her own lyrics and musical compositions. She's done a couple of wonderful collaborations that we're going to talk about tonight and anything else that she wants to share with us. And I'd like to bring our host, Richard Allen. Are you with us, Richard?
I believe I'm here. We've had some technical difficulties earlier, but can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Welcome.
Great.
And
I'd like to welcome everyone who is listening. And I would also like to thank everyone for their kind words and thoughts on wishing us well in our marriage. We were married back in June, and we received a lot of nice notes and comments from people and on social media, and I would just like to extend my thanks to all of you for that.
Yes, thank you. And also, we were on a long hiatus. We are back after a few months of being off the air. And I'd like to remind you all of the number to dial in, which is 949-209-2956. Again, the number is 949-209-2956. And feel free to join us at blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. Our chat is open. And we have with us Kathy Yolanda Rice. Kathy, can you hear us? Kathy, you there?
Can you hear me?
There you are. Yes, I can hear you just fine. Welcome. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be on the show. It's been a while since we've had a chance to connect.
Yes, it has. You've blessed us with your beautiful music on our Colors of Music music show a couple of times, and we've been talking about having an hour just for you, and here it is. It's never too late.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm just honored to be here once again to talk about music and all things creative.
That's right, and thank you for your time. We appreciate that. We know you're busy. We know there's a lot going on, and as we normally progress with our show, I'm always curious about the beginnings of one's career and their inspirations. So I know that you started piano at the age of 6, but you've always wanted to sing, and
right.
I'm always curious about your inspirations as a child. Can you tell us about who and what inspired you as a child to do what you do today?
Well, really, my sister, Kay, her name is Kay Frances Rice Jones. She's the person who really inspired me to sing. She was a member of a group called the Starlighters, and they were a group of teenage girls that went around the Huntsville area singing back in the early 60s. They did a lot of doo-wop and the Shirelles, and I wanted to be a member of that group, but of course I was, you know, just a toddler. So I said, well, my dream is to someday be a Starlighter. And I learned all the songs and sang with them during rehearsals when they were at our home. And that really put the spark to pursue music inside of me at an early age.
That's wonderful. The song that we started the show with, Love is Like a Sunny Day, that is such a an uplifting and bright message. And this was your project before the last one that you did with Philip, right? It was in, a collaboration with Gary Swan. This was before this last project that you did, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. What was the inspiration behind that song? I always like to know what inspires folks to write the songs that they write. This is so beautiful and uplifting.
Yeah, I really wish Gary were on the line to address the inspiration. But Gary and I have a very good friendship. And, you know, I had shared some of my ideas with him about love and various disappointments and things, and we also talked about love from a spiritual perspective, and he wrote these lyrics to basically inspire people to realize that, hey, you know, there are ups and downs in love. You just have to hang in there and enjoy all those sunny days, because the rain will come, storms will come, but you always eventually will have a sunny day if you can just wait it out, you know. And so I think that was pretty much the message that about that song. And I wrote the melody to his lyrics, and Kelvin Wooten produced the music, and we ended up with something that we, you know, thought we were all happy with, and it's just a very crisp, smooth jazz song.
It is beautiful. You mentioned Kelvin Wooten, and of course, he also worked and collaborated with you on this last album, Flesh of My Flesh, correct, with Philip?
Yes, with the single. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, when did you... Go ahead.
No, I said the music had... Philip already had a musical arrangement, and then Kelvin and I basically worked together to redo the music for this release of Flesh of My Flesh. That song is actually a part of a musical that Philip wrote entitled Emmanuel. And so I really loved the song the first time that I heard it, and I was committed to record it, you know, whenever the day came that I would be able to do so. And Philip was kind enough to render his vocal talents on the piece with me as well, to sing it as a duet. And that's really how that project got off the ground.
Now, for backtracking a little bit, when did you meet Kelvin Wooten? Because you've been working with him for a while now, right?
Yes, I have. I've actually been working with Kelvin since around 2000. I worked with Kelvin's father at NASA in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I had moved from California back to Huntsville and always had the dream of doing a recording project. And Kelvin's father overheard me speaking to a fellow coworker about this dream of mine to do this recording, you know. And I said, I've written all these songs, and they're at home tucked away in a shoebox, and I want to pull them out and record them. And he said, well, my son can help you with that. He's at home right now. Give him a call. And I said, well, you know, I don't know who your son is, and I'm not, you know, I'm actually a professional at this. I have a degree in music, and I really know what I'm doing, you know, because I didn't know who his son was. And he said, oh, well, my son is a professional producer. He's worked with Tony, and he started, you know, calling out all these names. He said, but he's at home right now. Call him. So I did, and that was the beginning.
Wow.
I let Kelvin listen to some of my, you know, early recordings of the song and asked him if he would be interested in doing this type of a project. And he said he would love to do it. And so we, you know, started working. It took us a long time to do it because I had young children at the time, and Kelvin's career had really kicked off. He was working with Erykah Badu and Jill Scott and Rafael Sadiq. He was always being called out to California and various places on projects. So I had to just kind of get in whenever I could, and it took us until 2004 to actually release the 10-song CD. But I was very happy with the project, and I, you know, he did a perfect job. I got exactly what I wanted out of the After All These Years CD. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. After All These Years, 2004, the 10 tunes. There's so many wonderful songs out of the CD. He's My Friend, Feel Love. I really, really, really enjoy the CD, and we'll play some of that music for our listeners in just a little bit. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, coloredpeople.net. is a multicultural artistic network. It's sponsored by Zeal for Life products, 100% natural products. And we are so blessed to have Kathy Yolanda Rice with us today. And Richard, do you have questions or comments for Kathy?
Yes, I do. Kathy, let's backtrack just a little. You mentioned that you have a degree in music, and I was just interested in hearing you talk about that a little bit. Could you describe your experiences in college, anything that might be pertinent to your career, and what benefits have you received from your college education as far as your career development is concerned?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I'm very grateful to have had the education in music and all of that. It helps me to be able to articulate musically the ideas that I have with a lot of ease compared to maybe if I had never studied. Okay, I'm also thankful to God for giving me a vocal gift. I believe that God blessed me with something special that I should share with the world as a singer. But a lot of the theory that I learned, chord structures and that sort of thing, song formatting, those things I learned, coming out, studying privately with voice as well as in college. So I think it was very valuable. I didn't pursue a music career formally right out of college. Ironically, I went to work for the government. I ended up doing something totally different, but I never left music alone. I never left art alone. That's what fulfills my soul. And so education is important, but I think a person's passion will eventually lead them to their true happiness.
Wow.
Did that answer?
You mentioned, yes, it does. And you mentioned that you had the shoebox full of songs that you wanted to record. And you didn't want to leave that just sitting underneath the bed. You wanted to bring that to fruition.
Right.
Was there just a burning in you? That something that did you continue to write once you started working for was it NASA? You said.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I work for NASA now, but
I had
a very long career in government. Right. I started out actually with the Army at White Sands Missile Range, and then from there I went to Mesa, Arizona, and in fact the song from the title song from After All These Years, I wrote that song while I was living in Arizona. And it's really funny because I had been in love with my college sweetheart for many years, and I was hoping that I would someday reconnect with him. And eventually I did see the guy again, 10 years later. But that never worked out. But anyway, it chronicles a part of my journey. There's some truth, there's some fantasy in there. And so I just look at all of life's experiences as being just a big bucket to pull from to write music and, to paint pictures and that sort of thing. I'm kind of getting off on a tangent, but that's kind of the history of that.
Okay, and in choosing music as a major, was that just a natural progression from studying piano and studying voice? Was that just something
that
you?
Yeah, I was. I did a lot of voice competitions in junior high school and high school, and I received superior ratings. I was the outstanding choral student in Huntsville and competed for the region. I think I got first runner-up or something at the state level. And as a result of that, I was offered a full music scholarship, and I accepted it to Alabama A&M. And I also got an academic scholarship. And so I ended up using the music scholarship and a portion of the academic scholarship to finish up in December 81 when I received my bachelor's degree.
Amen.
Wonderful. Tanya Maria?
That is so inspiring. I'm so excited. I love my sister. I met her through Joan Cartwright's show, Women, Music Women, excuse me. And she's also on Blog Talk Radio, and she's also in chat right now, Kathy. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, she's listening. And I want to talk a little bit later about the Women in Jazz South Florida CD, Volume 3, that you did in 2012. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But so I want to thank Joan Cartwright for connecting us. It's so beautiful how life works. You know, we just run into each other's lives. Sometimes it's temporary. Sometimes it's everlasting. Yes. So we're going to take a quick break. Again, the number, we're going to take calls a little later in the show, but the number to dial is 949-209-2956. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Kathy, I am curious about your cards with class and your artwork. I knew you were a talented lady, but I was really impressed with your artwork. And those of you who want to check out Kathy's work, you can check out her website, KathyYolandaRice.com, and you can see some of her work there. Just beautiful artwork. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Harry Elston with the Friends of Distinction, and you are listening to ColoredPeople.net with your host, Tanya Maria.
There you are. I was on mute. I think that's what Richard was trying to tell me. You could not hear me, right?
No.
Okay, there you are. Okay, just making sure I'm back. I have this terrible habit of muting myself and not unmuting myself. I apologize to all of you. I was just welcoming you back, and I wanted to talk to Kathy about Cards with Class. I believe you started that in 1994, your artwork. Tell us about that.
I created an African art card line known as Cards by Kathy. And it was just really inspired by a trip I took to a flea market. And I wasn't a person that, you know, really frequented flea markets. A friend of mine had to force me to go, and we stopped at a little booth where a guy was selling kente cloth. And I saw this little kente cloth hat that I liked, and I said, well, you know, I don't really even wear hats, but it was something about the texture and the colors. I had to have a hat. So I bought it for a couple of dollars and took it home. And then I looked at it, and I just felt like I needed to cut that hat up. And so I started making shapes. And I put the shapes that I made on paper, and I could see people associated with each shape. And that was how I began creating these images using the kente cloth, and I made cards from them. And that was, it was just the beginning of a creative process in card making that I continued, you know, for several years and really enjoyed. So that's how Cards by Kathy got started. And then I did cards making using handmade papers and shells. I used a lot of other real gold. I used metals on some of the artwork that I created. And I just enjoyed mixing a lot of different materials and paints together to create inspiring images.
That is awesome. Well, I don't recall if I said this while I was on mute, but I'm going to repeat it. If you all would like to check out Kathy's beautiful artwork and also her music, you can find her at her own website, KathyYolandaRice.com. She's also everywhere. You can find her on Twitter, Facebook, CD Baby. She is just blessing us all with her beautiful voice and her beautiful music everywhere. All right, so
Thank you. Let's move on.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let's move on to what I would like to ask you about in 2012. There are a couple of things that I made a note of. Of course, the Women in Jazz South Florida, the CD, and also the Jesus is the Way song that was recorded with your New of Mystique group that you connected with or created. I'm going to ask you about that. When did this group start, and then you reconnected with them to do this recording? So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, when I was in college, I was invited to become a member of a group called Nuova Mystique. And at the time, one of our college professors had put this small ensemble together as his special little baby, you know, and he took us around to sing for various events in the community. And I think we were on a radio show. We did a benefit concert here, and we got a chance to sing some contemporary music. What he did, he put a spin on a lot of traditional gospel arrangements and gave mm-hmm. them a jazz flavor, okay? So our group was known for the element of surprise in a musical composition. You'd hear all these beautiful chords that you just wouldn't expect to hear in a particular song that you may have heard before. So this professor of ours, Richard Tucker, passed away a couple of years ago, and his wife asked that we reunite to sing at his funeral. And we had not sung together in 30 years.
Wow.
And the group got together, right. We, three of us are actually in Huntsville now, so it was easy for us, you know, to find each other and get together and practice. But the bass, the guy that sang baritone, was in Mobile. So we rehearsed with him over the phone like a couple of days before the funeral. And then he came up, and we went over it a couple of times, sang at the funeral, and everybody was just really, really moved. It was so remarkable to be reunited, but then again, to have to be there for that occasion was most difficult, you know. So I know the Holy Spirit had to place an anointing over that performance in order for us to be able to get through it and do it so beautifully and effectively. Well,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Henry Panyon, who was in college with us, and I think he was our drum major, and he did for the band at that time, and he did a lot of arranging, and he was friends with Mr. Tucker as well. He's now a Grammy-winning producer. He's done work with Stevie Wonder, and he has a studio down in Birmingham called Audio State 55. And he was at the funeral and heard us, and he said, guys, we need to recapture this, and I'd like to invite you all down to my studio, and let's just record it and give it to Mrs. Tucker as a gift. So we, at the time we did it, we didn't think that it would be released. That wasn't the objective. And so when he really got into the arrangement and everything, and we came to sing it, he said, I think we want to go ahead and do something with this. So he ended up getting a contract with Warner Brothers Distribution, and they heard the song and agreed to distributed for us through their digital distribution chain. And that's the story of Jesus Christ is the Way, the Walter Hawkins classic that's now sung and released by with Nuova Mystique, our college.
That is wonderful.
And I'm the soprano.
That, yes, that is wonderful. Joan Cartwright in chat says that your artwork is beautiful.
Oh, Taylor, thank you so much.
Indeed it is. We'll talk a little bit about the CD with Women in Jazz, but before I do, Richard, I'm turning it over to you. Do you have comments or questions?
I'd like to once again take a little step backwards.
Okay.
I'm always interested in hearing people's stories, hearing the stories that they tell about the development of their gifts and their talents. And since you began studying and singing at such a young age, and you were so acclaimed in that at a young age, I was wondering what role your family played in encouraging and developing your gifts.
Wow. They were very encouraging and supportive, especially during the early years. Okay, but when I revealed to them that I really wanted to be a superstar, they were reluctant to go along with that adventure. I'm on the stage. I want to go to New York and California and just sing, and that's all I want to do. And my mother said that she just felt like that life would have been too hard for me, and they really did not encourage me to have a life as a recording artist, out of college. And my father said, get your degree in music education so that you can teach. And I was determined that I was not going into the classroom to teach. Both my parents were educators. My father was a principal and my mother was a teacher. And, that's what they knew, and that was comfortable for them. That's what they wanted me to do. But by me taking this job with the government, it guaranteed the travel and the adventure. And so I would just pursue my music and do a little art. I could do those things on the side in all these other cities that offered so much more culturally than my hometown did at that time. Okay. So that's really how that went. And I hate so bad that my parents were not alive when I released my debut CD. I believe they really would have been proud of me, and I dedicated my release party to them. After all these years, it's a poignant title, you know. There's irony in it. There's that song, but then it's like after all these years, I'm finally finding a way to live in my purpose, the best way that I can without putting my family life at risk, financially. I've been blessed to be able to do both things, and I hope to eventually transition at the right time to where I am able to do the music and art full time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would like to play just a little snippet of some of the songs in your debut CD, After All These Years, released in 2004. Just a beautiful album. And let's start with He's My Friend. We'll be right back.
He's my friend when all Instrumentalist and CEO and chairman of TenaciousRecords.com, and I'm also a very proud member of ColoredPeople.net.
We are back with talented, anointed, sweetheart Kathy Yolanda Rice. We're so happy to have her with us. And this is Tanya Maria, your host, and Richard Allen. This is ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network sponsored by ZealForLifeProducts.com. And we're back. Kathy.
Yes. Oh, that was quite a combination here. Yes. I have to say that looking back, I don't have any regrets over how all of this is panning out and working out, because I know that God has a plan for all of us, and we can't understand how it's going to work out because we can't see into the future, but He knows. And I'm so happy that you chose to play He's My Friend, because I'm talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in that song. And it's just... that song is like a prayer. It means the world to me. It's short, but it makes my point known that I've got something stronger and greater that I've been holding on to that has gotten me through all of the trials that I've gone through in my life. And so I'm just want to reiterate that I don't have any regrets after all these years. And my spirituality is what has given me the strength and the determination to continue to pursue it, you know, even in my 50s. I'm just going on one day at a time, one interview at a time, one download at a time. Yeah.
Amen. Richard?
Wow. That song is very inspirational, and you can hear the feeling. Speaking of He's My Friend, but to just come full circle from my last question, there are many things, spirituality being one of them, that shapes us creatively, that motivates us, inspires us. Another is, of course, the people that come into our lives.
That's true.
Through different means. And, of course, the most prevalent of that is being a parent. And you are the mother of two lovely ladies.
Yes.
And I was just curious, is how has being a parent shaped you creatively?
Well, being a parent has helped me to never take for granted a creative wave when it comes in. I learned early on in motherhood that if I, you know, felt like painting a picture, okay, or writing a song, I needed to get to it as soon as I had a window of opportunity, which most of the time meant when the girls were asleep, when they were little. So I had to discipline myself to really work at odd hours to accomplish creative tasks. That's one thing, and it's also been rewarding to see them get joy out of something that I've made, and that has inspired them to be creative. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, and that we can pass our passion on to our children. And my youngest daughter is a very talented artist in her own right. And my eldest child is in cosmetology. She does very ornate nail designs and hair designs. So she's taken it in that way. And she also sings and has perfect pitch with the music and that sort of thing. So it's rewarding to see the gift come back through them. And I enjoyed sharing it with them. And I thank them for giving me the discipline to go ahead and do what I needed to do. You know, as a mother, you don't allow your children to keep you from doing, from being creative. I always try to include them in everything. I took them to shows with me. They were in the studio with me when I was working on projects with Kelvin. So they know the drill on all of that. And I'm grateful for, you know, being able to have that opportunity to share that part of my life with them.
Yeah, that's very powerful, because there are a lot of people who feel that they have to prepare for other people to hear them play, even if it's family. And you said that you had your daughters there with you the whole time so they could see the entire creative process.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, that's that's very powerful. And it is important for children to see that the end result is not how everything begins. You know, a song doesn't begin with a music video. You know,
right.
A painting doesn't begin with an art exhibit. You know,
right.
That there is a process, and there's sometimes some pain that goes along with that, and a lot of trial and error times.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And the other aspect of it is the business aspect. You know, the music and the art, you know, will be here after I'm gone. And I don't want it to be foreign to them, so that, you know, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They need to be aware of how all of that works, and that's a part of their inheritance. You know, they're heirs to the creativity that God has allowed to be in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's wonderful.
Go ahead, honey. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Kathy, I also noticed from your website that you have a mantra that says it's never too late to live your dreams.
Right.
In what ways has your mantra manifest in your life?
Well, I think the fact that I'm 53 years old and we're having this conversation is a testament to me not giving up and still, you know, living my dreams, still trying to. I think sometimes we can have an expectation of what it would be like when we picture ourselves in our dreams in a certain way. And I guess I've sort of changed my vision a little bit, to where I enjoy every part of the journey instead of feeling like I'm not living it because I'm not at a certain point. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It's kind of
yes.
like success and happiness when someone says, well, I'm striving to be successful at da-da-da-da, or, you know, I'll be happy when. And I've learned to be happy now and feel the success right now. I'm in the dream now. And so I'm able to do that at whatever age I'm here on this earth and have breath, you know. If I'm here at 80, still be living my dream. That's how I look at it now. Any opportunity that I have to be involved, do performances and that sort of thing, I take them as long as I'm physically able and have the health. That's the main thing, to be healthy, to show up for your dreams is paramount, you know.
Yes.
So that's why that's my mantra. It's never too late to begin. I don't want to look back and say, well, if I had only done this when I was 15, or, you know, if I had just stayed in New York 6 months longer, it probably would have turned out like this. We don't know what it would have turned out. I believe that because I'm a child of God, He has been in control all this time, and everything is on His timetable. So I work with that. And that gives me the peace that I need to continue every day living this dream and realizing that it's not too late. I'm right here in it right now.
Amen. Thank you for that.
And he shall direct your path, and he has. It's beautiful to look in your life and see, you know, the path you've taken and the folks you've met and that has allowed you to be a minister through your music, you know, and an anointed voice that you have. So it's really a blessing to see that. And speaking of connections and paths, I know you met Philip Michael Thomas through MySpace, but through him you met Joan Cartwright, and through that you met me, and or I met you, I should say.
Right.
And and you did the you were part of the Women in Jazz South Florida CD. Tell us in 2012 how was that experience?
Oh, that was a wonderful experience. I love Joan Cartwright, by the way. I think she's just a fabulous woman, and she's so inspirational to me, and I'm sure many other women musicians all over the world. I was honored to be able to be a part of that project, and the song that is featured on that CD is entitled Cloak and Dagger Affair. It's a favorite of a lot of people that enjoy my music. And so I'm happy to be able to promote that CD as well on my website and to friends and family to, you know, purchase the CD and all of that. It features 9 other female musicians on it. And it was a great project. Joan is wonderful to work with. She's an astute businesswoman and knows how to get the job done.
Yes, she does, and she's she's an inspiration as well. She's so talented, and she's done so much, and it's really a blessing to have met her as well, and to have both of you listening to the show, having Joan listening to the show right now. She says she loves you. she's in chat. She's chimed in. She loves you.
Okay.
All right.
And love
well,
me too.
Yes. She's there. She hears you. I wanted to talk about the collaboration with Philip and the wonderful song Flesh of My Flesh. which was your last project, your latest project, not your last project, but your latest project that we're expecting so much more, so much beautiful music from you. But tell us about the collaboration with Philip on the song.
Okay. Well, Philip wrote this song as a part of a musical entitled Emmanuel, and I think there are there may be other co-writers involved in some of the other music that's featured in the musical. But I love this song in particular because he introduced it to me at a time that I was going through a divorce. Which was, you know, a very transitional time for me emotionally. And when I heard him sing the words, "I do love you," in this song, I felt like God was telling me that he loved me. It was like, although the song was it was romantic, it had a spiritual feel to it. And he said that he was trying to capture the love between Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could someday meet someone and have this type of love in life? You know, that song just gave me hope that I would have it someday. And praise God, I have it today. You know, I've since remarried, and I'm very, very happy in that area of my life, and I wish that for everyone. So I was just elated to be able to sing this song with Philip, who's been a jewel in my life, a mentor, an inspiration, a person who just helped me keep love alive in my heart by sharing this beautiful music with me and poetry and that sort of thing. And we just kept a great creative exchange going. And, you know, who can be mad at anyone when you're listening to all this great music that's so inspiring? And so I'm, you know, that's really how I was inspired. And I wanted to redo the music for 2013, you know, which we did. And he was more than happy to sing with me on it. And it was released on my record label, Paintbrush Records and Publishing. And so we're very happy with the project, and we're promoting it. I spoke with Philip earlier today. Unfortunately, he had another commitment and was not able to call in on this interview. But there are a lot of interviews out there that, you know, people can listen to and catch him. And who knows, Tanya, maybe we can come back another time and have him on. But we're just excited about promoting the song. And it has been nominated for a Grammy as for Song of the Year. So, you know, we'll just be praying that it'll get even more recognition. But I'm thrilled to be a part of the music industry in that way, to get that visibility at this time. So I plan to keep on. Flesh of My Flesh is a cornerstone of our collaboration. And we're also planning to do a French version of Flesh of My Flesh and Love is Like a Sunny Day to be introduced to the Francophone world, along with three additional songs that I won't, you know, be able to disclose at this time. Mm-hmm. But there's more to come. So this is just the beginning of our plans for, you know, to bring really uplifting, inspiring music to the world.
Amen. Well, let's take a listen to Flesh of My Flesh, written by Philip Michael Thomas. It's a lovely duet by Philip and our lovely guest, Kathy Yolanda Rice. We'll be right back.
Above you, Ever since that fateful day, you touched my life. You promised me joy in the morning, love all through the night. You kept your promise, and you made everything all right.
You make me think of riches and things, feel of power like kings and queens. You and I were made to have each other, live, love, and discover. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, ruling together on God's holy throne, a union, holy communion.
Yeah. I love the way you love me, love the love we share. I love the way you love me, nothing else compares. A union, holy communion. You are the things I hope for, the evidence of things I've seen. My life is so much sweeter, we are a living dream.
I vow to you, my love, my life, with you I'll make any sacrifice.
I bow to you, my heart, my soul.
God is in control.
A union, holy communion.
Yeah.
I love the way you love me. I love the love we share. I love the way you love me. Nothing else compares. We got faith that moves mountains.
We are back with Kathy Yolanda Rice and ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. This is Tanya Maria and Richard Allen, your host. Kathy, what a beautiful anointed song. And I was just thinking, as Richard mentioned to you, that this is our first show since we've been married, and he is the flesh of my flesh, and I totally relate to this song.
I wish I could have been to your wedding. I wish I could have sung it for your wedding. Congratulations to you and Richard. I'm so happy for you all as well.
Thank you so much.
This song would have really been appropriate at our wedding. We are certainly very happy for you also, Kathy, that you have found that love in your life, and it's really a blessing. To be able to not just love someone, but to love through someone, you know, to have God at the center of that relationship, that binds everything together, and it adds a dynamic to love that you cannot find apart from God, and we're really happy for you to experience that also.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. My husband is listening to
our regards to him. Hello.
Yes. Hello and congratulations, if you can hear us.
Okay. Okay.
All right, my dear. What is scheduled and planned for the rest of the year? And you just mentioned that there's some more music that's to come with Philip, and but any other projects that may not be necessarily music, but your artwork or acting? I know some of your music has been featured in movie soundtracks. Anything else you want to share with us?
Oh, well, a video is on the horizon.
All right.
That's going to be very exciting for me when we're able to complete a video project of,
good,
you know, the recent releases and as well as the new music. And Philip is really encouraging me along those lines because we realize that video is so important nowadays. It really helps to promote the music, and people are watching YouTube as much as they're listening to the radio or more now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been working on a video for Flesh of My Flesh and at the conceptualizing stages of it. And so I'm hoping that will be released in 2014.
Awesome.
Would you come back and share that with us?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
We'd love to have you both.
I'll keep you posted. Right.
All right, my dear. Well, it's been a pleasure having you again to bless us with using and not hiding under the bed. You're sharing it with the world.
Yeah.
So I know God is pleased with you for using your God-given gifts to bless the world and to share His love for us. So thank you so much for your time to be here with us tonight. I'd like to thank Joan Cartwright once again, a music woman on Blog Talk Radio. Check it out. Women in Jazz South Florida, wonderful music, wonderful artists. Please support her efforts and continuing to share wonderful and talented musicians and singers. I'd like to thank my host, Richard Allen, for making my life brighter and happier. And to all of our listeners who support us, so stop by coloredpeople.net and like our Facebook page, if you would, and keep posted on our future shows. And I'd like to thank you again, Kathy, and to your family, the best, and may God's will continue to reign in your life.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'll look forward to being in touch on coloredpeople.net.
All right. We look forward to it. Thank you all.
Care.
Good night.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye. Bye, Richard.
Went into a city, I did not look for love. Thought I found it. Was it a blessing? up tonight, but you gotta hold on until the time is right. Cause you never know the moment when the one is there. Wait and watch it just to capture your stare. If you wanna find a love that's devoted and true, so set and make